Man, I feel the Lord in this place tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad he's here.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be here if he wasn't here. Amen. To tell you the truth. I've been some places where the Lord just wasn't there and it was cold, dried up. Man, I like it when the Lord shows up. How about y'all?
Amen.
Let's get in this thing. Brother Rick was telling me this was supposed to be revival week.
Yep.
Amen, and everything's kind of focused on your dear brother right now. But I tell you what, I've just done had a little bit of revival just doing some singing. Amen.
Amen.
We praise the Lord, revival come. Amen. It don't have to be a weekly set aside thing. It can be in our heart. We can have our own little revival. We can spread it around. Amen. And people, other people can get their cup overflowed as well. Amen. And if you got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. I've been studying on some of this week, and amen, the Lord's been really blessing me. Not too long ago, I preached a message over at Lovejoy Church, and it was talking about the rock, amen, talking about the cleft in the rock. And I tell you what, I've been feeding on that all week, amen. The Lord has blessed me with that, and amen, He blessed me with this as well, and I hope, amen, it could be a help to you. So, amen, if I can't help you, I don't want to hurt you, as the old saying goes. Amen, but let's get us started reading here. Amen, in Numbers 13, verse 17. I might have quite a bit of reading to do tonight. I don't know, but maybe the Lord will have me paraphrase some of it. I don't, might get into it like that. I don't know. Sometimes when the Lord takes over, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's the way I like it. It says here in chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good land or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring forth of the fruit of the land. And now the time was at the time of the first ripe grapes. Amen. It says, So they went up, and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as the men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came up to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days. That's really important right there. After 40 days, they returned. And then when they came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land.
Amen.
And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And they told him and said, Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Now, first of all, let me just hold it right there. We had this big old cluster of grapes, and there's milk and honey, but that's what nevertheless means. That's Old Testament for but. But the people are just, they're too strong. They'd be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and all the otherites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, oh, I want you to pay attention to Caleb.
Amen.
Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.
Yeah.
But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
Come on.
And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we were in their sight. Amen. Might get on to a little bit more of this later, but just can be seated right now. Hey, man, I just want to go over a little bit of this. Amen. This is just some amazing scripture here. What we find in this chapter, amen, Moses sends some people to spy out the land that they're about to enter into. Amen. He sends a group of people. Their names are listed before this. It talks about all the different tribes that were listed there. Amen. And Caleb was one of the names that came up that he sent there. And he sent these spies, I believe. These men went out to spy the land. And they were in that land for 40 days. Amen. And they went out, and Moses told them to bring some of the fruit. He told them to pay attention to that land, whether it's a good land or a bad land. He told them to pay attention to what kind of houses they had. Hey, man, what kind of people were in that land. He told them to pay attention to detail about that land.
Amen.
Amen. And the men that were there, they cut down a cluster of grapes. I want you to understand something. It said they took one cluster of grapes, but it took two men to carry it. Amen. I don't know about you, but we've been getting a lot of grapes at the grocery store here lately. Amen. And they've been on sale. Them red grapes, amen. And I don't know about you, but it don't take two men to carry back to you, amen. You take one little cluster of that, and you might have a handful or so with it. But amen, these men went out to spy this land, amen. It was a man land, a flow of milk and honey, and they went out to spy like Moses told them to. Amen. And they come back with a big old cluster of grapes. One man on this end and one man on this end, and they had it stuck between a pole. And the grapes are so big they hadn't had two men to carry it. Amen. And they come back and they said, here's the fruit of the land that we found. It's a good land, and sure, it's flowing with milk and honey. But, well, you can kill a promise, you can kill a service, you can kill an experience from God. Just quicker than anything, just using that one word. But.
Come on.
Lord, I'd like to, but.
Come on.
Lord, I'd like to do this. Lord, I can feel you calling me to do something, but. Oh, many times dreams are shattered because of that one little word. Amen. The unbelief.
Amen.
Jesus told them he couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Amen. He couldn't do a lot of things in their life because of their unbelief. Amen. And Psalm 78, it talks about the Israelites. It says they limited the Holy One through their disbelief. Amen. Man, that'll get us in more trouble than anything else. God will give you a word from the Word of God or from in your spirit. And boy, you like to chew on that for a little while, but it tastes good, amen. But it feels bitter going down. You say, oh Lord, but what about all my great friends? What are they going to say? Amen. The lost man will be out there in the pews, and he'll be thinking about needing to get saved. Amen. And he'll be thinking, the devil will be whispering in his ear, you can't get saved. All the people you run around with won't have nothing to do with you anymore. You won't have a friend left.
Right.
Friends, that may be true, but you'll have a friend that's sticking closer to a brother. Amen. The greatest friend of all. Amen. Gave his only life. Amen. Spilled his blood on Calvary. Amen. That you might not have to perish. Amen.
Good
old song says, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. But he said here, these men came back with clusters of grapes, and then they had an evil report to bring back to Moses. I want you to notice what they told him. He said, they told him, we came to that land. It flows with milk and honey. And yeah, we got some big old grapes because this is a fruit. But the people are strong that dwell in that land. Amen. They got their eyes off the promise and they got it on the people.
Yeah.
Amen. They got their eyes off the prize and they got it on the people. Amen. And they begin to say, these people are too strong for us. The cities are walled. Amen. And they're very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amen. And back in verse 22, it said, they ascended by the south, came into Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Those children, when you hear Anak in the Bible, it means the children of a giant. Amen. They were giants, kind of like Goliath. Amen. Of Gath, he had five other brothers. Amen. These were men that were just like Goliath. They were giants. And the children of Anak were giants. And they saw the giants. And they saw the walled cities. And they begin to list a little few more things. And it says, Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan.
Amen.
I want you to look at all that territory he's describing. Boy, there's people in the mountains, there's people in the south, there's people by the sea.
Yeah.
We can't overtake them. But God promised them that land. That was the promised land. Every time I hear these ites mentioned in the Bible, these men that have I-T-E-S at the end of their name, I always think about the promise of God, what He promised them. Over there in Exodus chapter 33, it begins to talk about the Lord speaking to Moses. It says in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Depart, go up hence, thou and the people which thou broughtest up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Amen. That land that they was about to go into was the promised land. Amen. They was on the edge of that promise. And they began to backpedal and say, "Hey, we can't do this. The people there are too great for us. Hey, man, yes, there's some good fruit there and it's flowing with milk and honey. But look at all this other stuff." Amen. And that's what the devil wants us to get our eyes on, brother. Wants us to get our eyes on them other things.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I tell you what, it seems like I average about one or two times every message preaching on Peter. Hey, man, but I always think about stuff like this. I think about when he got outside the boat. He began to walk on the water, and the next thing you know, he starts to sink it because he got his eyes off the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Lord, help me.
He got his eyes on the waves and the storm.
Amen.
And it must have been a great storm. Because these men were fishermen. They were used to some rough weather out there.
Amen.
This must have been something like he'd never seen.
Amen.
Amen. He got his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. And when he got down to, I believe it was right up to his neck, and maybe just about to go all the way under, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reached down his hand. He was right there the whole time. Picked him back up. These men have that same kind of attitude. They look at the environment. They look at the men that are there. They look on the physical outward appearance. But what did God tell Samuel when he was going to know the next king? He said, "Don't look on their outward appearance." Amen. God looks on the
outward. Amen. Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel him in here today. Amen. But they brought an evil report. But there's one man. Amen. Had enough boldness about him. Had enough God about him. He believed in God. Amen. And his name was Caleb. Amen. You know what the word Caleb means? It means a dog. Amen. They probably thought he was a dog. But I'm not talking about the Gentile dogs. I want you to picture Caleb as an old Doberman pincher or a German shepherd or an old English bulldog that just hold on and they won't let go. Went over to my brother-in-law and sister's house the other day, and they was talking about how the cops that was letting them use their land to train the dogs. The German shepherd, buddy, they showed me some video of that. And cops out there in them padded outfits. Amen. The German shepherds, they stick them on them. They grab a hold of them, swing around the air, and they do not let go. They hold on, and they hold on until they tear a piece of half your arm off if they have to.
Amen.
And that's what Caleb was. Big old German shepherd in the faith. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I believe that's what Willard is back there. You talking about his faith?
Amen.
Boy, take a bite and hold on. Amen. Bring that enemy down, whatever it takes.
Amen.
But Caleb has said he stole the people before Moses. Here these men come with a bad report. And he told them to be quiet. And he told the people, he said, "Be still." Amen. Isn't that what Jesus said? Be still. He told the waves, "Be still." Caleb told, he went to the people and he stilled the people. And Moses, before Moses, he said, "Let us go up hence at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it." Well able. Amen. I like that verse in the Bible. Ephesians 3:20, I believe it is, it says that unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We got a God that is well able, amen. We got a God that is over and above everything that we need, amen. Caleb served to God and he'd been walking with God in that wilderness. Right now, I want you to realize this. In this wilderness, they had only been traveling about 2 or 3 years up to this point. From Egypt to here is about 2 or 3 years, if I've done the math right.
Amen.
But I want you to notice this. Caleb said, "Let us go up once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it." But the men went up Caleb was one that was for it. Majority was starting to rule.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, that's all it takes. You and God is majority. Woo! Glory.
Glory, that's good.
Boy, they brought up an evil report out of the land, and they searched the children of Israel and saying, the land through which we have gone through, it's a land that eateth up in the inhabitants, and there's men of great stature, there's giants there. Amen. And he said, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Boy, your own perception of yourself can do a world of hurt to you. Amen. We need to see ourselves as blood-bought child of the King. Amen. We need to see ourselves as more than conquerors. Amen. Through Him that loved us. Amen. The devil try to knock you down and try to get you all pious and think, well, you ain't really nothing. Amen. But God loved me enough that He sent His only Son. So He must have saw something. Amen. Worth loving. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We saw we were on our own side as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight too. Now they're speculating. They didn't talk to them people. They don't know what they thought they was like. They was assuming that because they were giants and they weren't, the Israelites, that, well, they must see us as grasshoppers too. Our mind can be one of the worst things that we ever have to deal with. I don't know about you, but I constantly fight. Amen. With my thoughts and my imaginations. Amen. The devil just knows that that's one of my weak points. Amen. To think bad of myself, to think I ain't able to do nothing. But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. That's what we have to hold on to, is the Word of God. Amen. Jesus defeated the devil with the Word of God. Amen. When he was on the mountaintop and the devil started tempting him, he threw back word after word after word. Scripture to the devil. Amen. The devil had to flee. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Woo.
Let's turn over a little bit. Let's see what happened to these people because of their unbelief and their disobedience. Those things go right hand to hand. Amen. Those are like best buddies. Unbelief and disobedience. Think about that. Next chapter. It's a long chapter. I'm going to try to find that word. A good place to start is, let's just start at verse 1. He said, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why'd they weep? Because of what the evil report brought back.
Right.
They didn't listen to the man of God.
They
listened, amen, to what their own heart wanted to listen to, the spies that brought an evil report. He said, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and against the whole congregation. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And they say that a lot. If you read the Old Testament, you'll hear them saying it. Boy, I wish we'd be back in Egypt where they had leeks and garlic and onions.
Starved to death. Amen.
God fed them with meat and they wanted vegetables.
Yeah.
I don't understand vegetarians, but we ain't going there tonight.
Amen.
Man, he fed them until they were sick enough of it that they died when the meat was in their mouth. They died.
Mm-hmm.
The quails that he brought. They fed them with manna from above.
Yeah.
He gave them drink with water from the rock. Touched on that a little bit last week. They had everything they needed. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. Amen. God preserved them.
Amen.
Because He was taking them to a promised land. Amen. If God makes you a promise, He can preserve you until you get there. Amen.
Amen.
They begin to complain once again. They begin to think about getting them another captain instead of Moses and Aaron. Amen. That comes on later in chapter 16. You'll find out what happens of that.
Amen.
But amen, it said in verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunne, which were of them that searched the land. Now Joshua was one of them too. Joshua and Caleb was two of the spies that went out. So that's two plus God.
Amen.
They were of them that searched out the land. They rent their clothes. They were upset at this. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. How many believe heaven is an exceeding good land?
Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching.
If the Lord delight in us, which he did, because that's a promise he made to Abraham, the land that they was about to get. If he delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Man, I tell you, when you talk about a good general getting his troops stirred up.
Amen.
Don't worry about it. They're going to be our supper. Amen. We're going to go over there. We're going to have us a good dinner, and they're going to be our supper. We're going to feast on them. But all the congregation, there's that word again, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They want to get rid of them. We don't want to hear this good news. We're just going to settle for what we got. And notice what happens next. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I've showed among them. This is the God that brought them, amen, through the Red Sea. Amen, brought them manna from above, fed them with water out of a rock, fed them with all kinds of, I think it was about, if you do the calculations, about 14 miles radius of quail.
Yeah.
That's a lot of food.
Yeah. Amen.
I did the math on that one time, and it's a radius of about 14 miles and about 3 miles high, or three feet high of quails.
Amen.
You had to wade through.
Woo!
More than enough. Somebody say more than enough.
More than
enough. Amen. God is more than enough.
That's a good one.
But they wanted to stone them. The Lord got frustrated with him. And he said, you know what? How long is this people going to provoke me? He said in verse 12, I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. He's talking to Moses here.
Yeah.
Talking to probably Caleb, Joshua. He said, just forget all this. I'm going to make a good nation of y'all. We're going to start all over again. We almost had another Noah.
Yeah. They come in circles.
Almost.
Almost.
But Moses said to the Lord, now I'm telling you what, Moses, if anybody knew how to get the Lord's attention in the Old Testament, Moses was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He talked with the Lord, and he told Miriam and them when they was going to overthrow his authority that he talked with Moses face to face and not in dark speeches. Moses got God's ear and God's attention here. Moses said to the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear about it. Boy, can you imagine the Lord just... Oh, just flaming, he come down, the glory of the Lord appeared. Remember when he was on Mount Sinai and the thunderings and the lightnings appeared? Boy, the people were scared to death. And they said, no, we don't want to even get close to that man.
Amen.
Here's the glory of the Lord saying, how long are they going to, am I going to have to struggle with them before they believe me? I've shown them signs and wonders time and time again. Why don't we just give them a pestilence and disinherit them and give you, Moses, and the rest of you that have been faithful, make a good nation of y'all? And Moses said, well, Lord, the Egyptians will hear about it then. For thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. Lord, if you do this, they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land.
Right.
For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. That thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night.
Yeah.
He's telling the Lord, you're risking your name. You're risking your word.
Come on.
He said, now if you shall kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware to them, therefore, he has slain them in the wilderness. Why? Because everybody would say, well, he just wasn't able. He wasn't an able God.
Right. He's able to do anything.
You think that'd get Lord's attention? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Moses said, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. Saying, the Lord is long-suffering. Moses pleaded for the mercy of the Lord. The Lord is long-suffering of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. All the way and through Egypt and the wilderness, even until now, Lord, you've been forgiven.
Right. Come on.
pardon them again.
Yep.
The Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Amen. But he tells them, I ain't going to read all this, but he tells them there was a price to pay. The price, the cost of this murmurings against the Lord and this complaining, it would cost everything just about that they had. It was the generation that was to go see the land was going to die off.
Uh-huh.
The older generation. And the children was going to go and enter that land, but the older generation would not be able to.
Right.
That was the cost. And here's another cost. Remember I said that the spies came back from spying the land? They were there for 40 days. This was a 2-3, maybe 4-year trip. But look what happens. But as for you, verse 32, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year.
Yep.
Shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise. I want you to, that's an important phrase, breach of promise.
Right.
We know a breach is something that's broken.
Yep. Right.
Now this promise wasn't completely broken because he was still going to be faithful to what he covenanted to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But this was a promise that was shattered a little bit. It was a promise, amen, that was not completely severed, but it was wounded.
Right.
Okay? And he said, you're going to be in the wilderness for 40 years because of your disobedience, your unbelief. What would have taken about a 3 or 4 year journey took them another 40 years.
Right.
And they begin to repent at that time. They begin to say, oh, Lord, we've done wrong. You know what? We're going to go up there anyway. But it was too late. It was too late. Verse 42, Moses told him, go not up, for the Lord is not among you,
right,
that you be not smitten before your enemies. Now look what happens. The Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. They presumed to go up to the hilltop. They went anyway. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Where the Ark was, God was. God didn't go with them to the place. God wasn't with them, amen. They went without the Lord, and what happens if you try to do something on your own? You'll fail every time. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. There's been a lot of reading here. There's been a lot of stuff going on. This has been, to me, it's been a fascinating story.
Amen.
We talked about Caleb. Amen. Caleb had another ending. Amen. Caleb had an ending that was amazing because God said that Caleb had another spirit with him. He was just a totally different man than all these other people. Amen. And we find later on, amen, in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb begins to talk to Joshua. He begins to tell him, you know what, that land that Moses promised me over there is called Horeb, that land that we talked about that the Anakites were from. Anakim, or whatever they were called, the giants, the land of the giants. Caleb asked for that land, and it was something like 40-something years, 45 years later, I think. Well, when Caleb did this and went and spied the land, he was already 40 years old.
Uh-huh.
Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. What was in his heart? We're well able to overcome it.
Yep.
We can do this. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up in the middle with me made the heart of the people just melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden, that's the land he spied out, the land that thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. What he was willing to go out and believe God for, God granted to
him. Amen.
And thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo, I am in this day 85 years old. 20, 40, 60, 80, 5 years old.
Amen.
He's 85 years old when he tells this to Joshua. 40 years in the wilderness, he was already 40 years old. and another 5 years to get through the promised land and right. overtake Jericho and all that other stuff. 5 years. A man that's 85 years old. Let me get to this. You're going to be amazed. Now remember, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 99 when God gave them Isaac.
Yeah.
It's impossible with men, but it's possible with God.
Amen.
He says, he's kept me alive these 45 years, and now I'm 85 years old, and I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Can you imagine an 85-year-old man, as strong as he was when he was 40?
Amen.
As my strength was then, even so my strength is now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. That's the giants. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. When they got to the land, the giants were still there. 85-year-old man says, if the Lord's with me, I'll drive them out.
Yeah.
And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's the third time it mentions that. And the name of Hebron was therefore, before was Kirjath the Bearer, which was Arba, was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. So it had a name before. It was one of the men that was a giant. It was named after him. But now it was going to be given to Caleb, and it was called Hebron.
Yeah.
Well, later on we find in the next chapter, it talks about Caleb in verse 13 of chapter 15 of Joshua. It says, and unto Caleb, the son of Jephthah, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord of Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. Now, here's some names he's going to name, and they're really important. And Caleb drove out this, the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. 85-year-old man drove out three giants. Caleb, remember, was a German shepherd. Okay, he was a dog. He lived up to that name. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir was before Kirjath-Sephir. And Caleb said, he that smiteth this place, and taketh it, to him will I give my daughter to wife. And so on and so forth it goes. We find Othniel wins his wife. But the point is that Caleb, 80-something years old, defeated the three giants that were mentioned when he spied out the land in the first place.
Amen.
Those names were Sheshai, Talmai, and Ahiman. Same names back in Numbers 13 that it mentions in Joshua 15. What's the point of all this? I'm going to ask you, are you a Caleb tonight? Are you a German shepherd? Are you about going to clamp down to your faith and you're going to hang on until it's over with?
Come on.
One of these days, God's going to come back, and
come on.
Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to have an inheritance with him. If you're born again, you're a joint heir. That means we inherit something. Hey, man, and I want to know that when I go to the Lord, just like Caleb went to Joshua and say, Lord, you know, hey, man, you promised, amen, when I was on this earth, that if I be faithful over a few things, you'd make me ruler over many. Hey, man, that you'd cause us to come and be kings and rulers and priests with you. Hey, man, and God, I believe, is going to do the same thing that Joshua did to Caleb. He's going to give him his reward. He's going to say, enter in, thou faithful and good servant. Hey, man, I made you ruler over a few things. You're going to be ruler over many. Amen.
Amen.
Good preaching. Amen. Right through the word. Praise the Lord.
And I tell you, the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Amen. He said, they that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles.
Yeah.
They shall run and not faint. They shall walk and not be weary. What does that mean? I believe that means we're going to have the strength that old Caleb did when he was 40, that he had when he was 80. Amen. Sometimes it gets weary in this life. Sometimes our loved ones drop off and go into eternity. Sometimes we have to bear some heavy loads. Hey, man, but I tell you what, if we just wait on the Lord and trust in His Word and not be like Israel, hey, man, He'll give us that youth back. He'll give us that second wind. And we'll be able to go over to the promised land and say to the devil, God promised me this. And you're not going to take away from
me. Praise the Lord.
Woo! Man, the giants that we have to face.
Amen.
Boy, I don't know about you, but many times in life, I go through life and I have all kinds of giants of my own. I've got fear as a big giant in my life. I'll just go ahead and admit it. Fear, if you fear some of the stupidest things sometimes, hey man, but that's one of my giants. Hey man, but you know what? I got to face that giant, and I got to be like old Caleb and say I'm well able to overcome that, because God's on my side. And if the Lord be with me, I'll go conquer that. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! But you won't do it.
People like Caleb.
Just sitting in your seat. Caleb was 85 years old. He was still willing to work. He's still willing to get the job done. He didn't say, you know, I'm old and I got a cane now. I'm just barely walking around with this old cane. He didn't say, I'm too old to get around. He said, I'm just as young and fit as I was when I was 40 years old. Amen. Still got the same attitude, amen, that I did when I went to the land in the first place. And because of that, Caleb was got the inheritance of every place his soul, foot of his soul touched. God gave it to him. If we'll be willing to endure to the end, the Bible says, they that endure to the end, Jesus said this, shall be saved. If we are willing to endure to the end, we shall be saved. We shall see the inheritance. And later on down the road, there won't be no more wars, no more fighting. We'll be able to enjoy that inheritance. I want you to notice something. Moses told him to go to a mountain. Hey man, Caleb inherited a mountain. Hey man, he inherited not just a flat piece of ground. Hey man, what do you got to do with a mountain? You got to climb a mountain. Hey man, sometimes you got to climb. I was reading a book this morning. I've been reading some Christian books for devotionals. And I got on the part today. Hey man, the chapter was called Keep Climbing. Hey man, it talked about how over here in this one place. I don't know if it's a foreign country or what it was. But hey man, there was this corporate man. He was taking his whole team on a mountain climbing expedition. Hey man, and they got to that mountain climbing expedition. They got all the gear on. They started to make their way up the mountain. And about halfway up that mountain, there's a resting place, a little lodge called a halfway house. Hey man, because it's halfway up the mountain, they call it a halfway house. Hey man, and the men there, they sat down there and they rested. They got them a good breather, got them a good meal, maybe just sat back a little bit and relaxed. And he said, never fail, about half of the people had dropped off right there. They didn't want to finish the journey.
Amen. Keep going.
They didn't want to finish the journey. Boy, we got it easy.
Come on. Come on, brother.
What that man, that rich man said, soul, take thine ease.
Yep.
Jesus said, thou fool, thy soul is required of thee.
That's
not
it. Amen.
But the other half, they went on. They trudged through the darkness. They trudged through the rest of the mountain. No doubt the last half was harder than the first because it's up higher. You got less oxygen. The wind is colder. The wind is more shrill on you. Amen. But they got up there, and then people that was in the halfway house were partying and having a good time. All of a sudden, they heard a bell ring.
Took their eyes off. Amen.
The bell rang. It was a bell that was on top of the mountain.
Amen.
One of these days, you're going to hear trumpet.
Come on,
Mommy.
Let me. Right. He's thinking about it tonight. Praise the Lord.
Boy, I hope you're listening. We're going to hear trumpet one day after a while. And those that are in the halfway house are going to be left behind. Amen. Hey, man, those ones that was in the halfway house, they heard that bell ring. Hey, man, and they begin all of a sudden to party and die. Because they realize that they hadn't really accomplished what they set out to do.
Right.
Oh, glory! What a story! What a journey, amen. I don't know about you, but I want to get all the way up. I don't want to stop halfway through the journey. Hey, man, I've come too far. I want to turn back. I want to go all the way home. Let's not be those that sit in a halfway house. Boy, the devil has all kinds of invitations and temptations. Boy, he invites you to just sit and stay a while. Kick your feet up, relax.
You know you're out. Yeah. Amen.
And it looks so good.
So true.
Those are the people that don't have their eyes on the promised land.
Amen.
They got their eyes on the feel good now. The Bible said that Moses was rather to endure the afflictions of righteousness than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Amen.
We're just in a season down here.
Amen.
All of us is going to have to leave here one day after a while.
Right.
Whether it be by the grave or whether it be by the trumpet, we're going to leave here one day after a while.
Amen.
We better be ready. We better be giving it our all. We better be a big old German shepherd and just hunker down on that and not let go.
Amen.
I hope I've encouraged you tonight. I don't know about you. I feel like I could preach another hour, but I ain't going to. Amen. I just wanted to share that with you. I said, Lord, amen, you said that it would be better if your men would prophesy than to speak 1,000 tongues to edify the church. I said, Lord, help me edify the church tonight.
Amen.
I can tell you right now, by looking at the congregation, a lot of them sitting at the halfway house.
Amen.
This isn't probably even half what was here during homecoming.
Amen.
Now, I understand some of that's dealing with Willard and some of them having to visit with him and everything. But I tell you what, we need to search our hearts. Now is the time of our salvation, nearer than we first believed. Man, everywhere you turn on the news, there's shootings over here. Sometimes it's in a school, sometimes it's in a church, other times it's in a public facility.
Yeah.
You don't know when you're going to leave here.
Right. Preacher.
You need to be ready.
Amen.
Are you ready tonight?
Amen.
Whether that means getting up and trying again.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, the just man falleth 7 times and he rises up 7 times. Amen. You might have been knocked down several times by the old devil. But I tell you what, don't give him the TKO. Amen. Just get back up on your feet and try it again. Amen. Get up and try again. Amen.
Woo.
Amen. Good
for you. Ask everyone to stand.
Amen.
And I tell you, I love it when the Lord preaches messages like this.
Yes, sir.
This is what I live for.
Thank you, Lord, for that, Lord.
I'm telling you, sometimes it ain't all a bed of roses and it ain't all good messages that you feel like preaching. Some of them are pretty rough. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad for sometimes you be in the valley and the Lord, the lily of the valley, just shows up. And He just blesses you. He's blessed me tonight with this message. And if He's blessed you, I hope you'll do something with it this week. Stick in your heart and don't let it go. If there's anything that you have on your heart tonight, you might be lost, you may be saved and just have a burden to get closer to the Lord. You want to get up that mountain just a little bit more. God will help you climb. As He sings tonight, search your heart. And if you have a need, come. Don't waste time on the world. Let God direct you and lead you.